Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or Podcast Health. Actually, podcasthealth.com is now the favorite site, and you can find out other medical stories there as well. This is 1255B. The Bs are always wonderful guests, and although I haven't interviewed her yet, I'll bet this is a great interview session. Her name is Shauna Pearson. She's the founder and president of Expert ADHD Coaching. ADHD Coaching is a key program to help you if you, like me, have ADHD, although I personally haven't used her services, but she probably has used her services herself since that's part of how she got into it. If you read the book Invisible ADHD, and go to Invisible ADHD to find out more about it, or just go to Amazon and order it, Invisible ADHD. And it talks about ADHD in women. I actually didn't know it was, before this book came out, that it was different in men and women. Our sponsors, as usual, LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of Truebiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue. The latter has great success when you change doses or if you have nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, or constipation when you're on one of the GLPs. Go to their website, LifesFirstNaturals.com, to find out more about the double-blind studies on Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum and why most men and women over the age of 50 might consider them with their physician. The other website is our own, foryoungevity.com, not just living longer, but living younger, foryoungevity.com. Shauna Pearson is the founder and president, as I said, of Expert ADHD Coaching, as well as a renowned coach herself. Shauna, where are you from and where do you live now? And how did you happen to get into this field?
I love the three questions in one questions. I am a proud Canadian. I'm born and raised in Toronto, Canada.
So I was going to say Pearson is like the airport. What relationship do you have to the airport?
My husband likes to say Pearson like the prime minister, although a lot of people won't even remember Pearson being the Prime Minister of Canada. But we have no relation to the Prime Minister or the airport. We just happen to have the same last name. And we got smart about probably 10 years ago or so and moved to beautiful, glorious San Diego, California, where the weather is usually fantastic.
Better than either in Cleveland or Toronto.
Oh my goodness, yes. You're in Cleveland.
Yes.
Okay. Well, when I digress, I can talk about my time in Cleveland watching the Blue Jays annihilate the Cleveland Indians back in the day.
Don't hurt me like that.
Dave Steeb pitched a no-hitter.
I don't know if you know, the Cleveland Clinic does supply the medical care to the Toronto Blue Jays as well as to the Cleveland Guardians now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And there is a large Cleveland Clinic Toronto. And not only do we take care of the Blue Jays, but we do most of the knees for the entire NHL.
Oh, that's got to be huge. I can't even imagine. That's a big...
Anyway, now that I've shown you my ADHD by not being able to...
This interview is going to be really fun. We're going to be everywhere. So
stay on one subject. Tell me what got you into... I know from the book, so I'm setting you up with a softball. What got you into ADHD and invisible ADHD for women?
So what got me into ADHD was my own personal diagnosis in my 30s. And just by the way that my life was going at the time, I would have done anything in the world to have known I had ADHD much, much earlier. And as is such with most women in my generation. I guess we're known as the lost generation because back in the day, it was a kid's condition and definitely mostly a boy's condition. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but girls were just not called out or diagnosed with ADHD back in the day. So a lot of women now are finding out that they have ADHD much, much later in life, which is unfortunate that they didn't know, you know, decades earlier, but also it is fortunate that they're finally finding out rather than living their entire lives not knowing, quote unquote, what's wrong with them. Yeah, there's a lot. There's so many things that are different between women and men with ADHD. But I want to say my book, Invisible ADHD, you know, the subtitle is, you know, for smart yet scattered women. And that's only because the publishers approached me to write this book. I didn't have a book already written that I was selling to a publisher. They came to me and they said, will you please write this book? And we want it to be only for women. And I was like, you know, my coaching company works with everyone. Probably 51 to 55% of our clients are men. Why? We know how to help men with ADHD. Why on earth do you want me to write a book just for women? And they really just...
Much better than my first book. When I first wrote Real Age, Are You As Young As You Can Be? I got about 10 rejections from agents. In that era, the agent controlled the publishers. It did become a number one New York Times bestseller, so I feel good. There actually was a publisher in San Diego that I'll tell you about. So at that time, the publisher that was associated with my medical publisher, I'd written a medical bestseller, a bestseller for physicians called Essence of Anesthesia. I'm both an anesthesiologist and internist. It was a number one bestseller in academic medicine. That year it sold 48,000 copies, which is an awful lot to physicians. But anyway, so I sent it to the president. They had a lay publishing company that was headquartered in San Diego. I still have the framed rejection from the president of the company who said, even if you got on Oprah, this would be, he said, Mike, stick to writing for physicians. Even if you got on Oprah, this wouldn't sell more than 10,000 copies. But anyway, so we did get it published. It did become a number one New York Times bestseller. The series of books we've published now have sold a little over 30 million copies. So anyway, but I still have it. He's from San Diego. So I don't hold a great love for publisher judgment. Since over the years, I've been rejected by, in fact, our publisher after the first two books became bestsellers, rejected us for the third book, which was our best-selling book, sold over 12 million copies in English. So tell us about ADHD in women. Why would you have wanted to learn about it earlier in your life? How would it have changed your life? And it clearly has changed your life now since this is your career, helping other people with ADHD.
It's the most fulfilling thing on the planet to help people that are actually quite easy. It's easy to help people with ADHD because ADHD, if there's one thing I need people to know, is that ADHD symptoms are all manageable. Every single one of them. So if ADHD is hurting you or your loved ones or your children or your partner or whomever, and people are struggling, everyone should know that the symptoms are 100% manageable, not just with medication, but also with tools and skills. Like, this is not a terrible thing. You just have to know how to do things differently. And so it's like you finally find these answers and you know that they work and you just want to share them with absolutely everyone because it's like it's so easy. It's not easy, but it is easy compared to what our life was like, you know, before knowing how to fix these things. So I said yes to the book deal because I don't know if I would say yes right away now, but I didn't know it was going to take so long to write a book. But I said yes, honestly, because of the amount of people that come to us desperately needing help and not having the ability to participate in our coaching program, either not having the money or not having the time. And yet they need this so badly. So I put everything into this book all of like the tools that 100% work all of the time. I left, you know, a lot of tools are not in this book that don't always work. The ones that always work are in the book, and they work for men. They work for men as well as women. So you should know that.
One of the things that's in the book is a to-do list, and the descriptions on to-do lists and what to do on to-do lists. I always do a to-do list. My to-do list is generally about 20 things long, but I'm happy if I only get 3 done. As my research associate behind me will tell you, I said how happy I was today because it was an efficient day when I got more than 3 done. So tell us about that.
People who have ADHD, our brain, and you're going to know this for yourself, but we have a brain that has a very hard time compartmentalizing. So we live inside of this reality of everything all the time, all at once, yesterday and tomorrow, right? And it's all just swirling around in one big, you know, smoothie. And it's impossible to separate one task from another to another to another unless you're completely engaged in it. So when you live in an everything, I call it everything all at once right now, reality, it's number one, it's totally overwhelming. It's very hard to know what to do when and how to start on anything because everything has the exact same level of importance. So when it comes to to-do lists, I would say probably 95% of our clients would, you know, start, you know, they come to us and they tell us like what their life is like and their day to day, and practically all of them have to-do lists that are over 30 items long, and they're stuck inside of that because
only having 20 on my list is pretty good.
I know, right? So 30 would be the minimum. So, and they've got these like endless to-do lists and they're stuck in it because every single one of those items is, you know, combined with all of the other ones, even though they're completely separate. And it doesn't make sense for their brain to know what to do first because we're not we're not very good at prioritizing. So in the book, I talk about very specifically, keep it to 3 and you're free. Keep it to 3 and you're free. And you keep saying that and you learn it and you take it. Yeah.
Even though I've got a long list, I say, this is the most important. And I'm very linear. So even though I'm a physician, when my patients text me or email me or call me, I generally put that off till a specific time because I'm linear and can only work on one thing at a time.
Amazing. Yeah. So that's such a blessing that you can do that. A lot of us aren't able to do that unless we're very engaged in whatever it is that we're doing. So if you keep your to-do list to 3, and then hopefully they're the top priority, 3 at a time, it basically eliminates the visual overwhelm of a list that's, you know, 30 items plus long, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
So, that's like number one is just, you know, cut it down and visually cut it down. We're very visual.
Now you have I just put 1, 2, and 3 and I only work on 2 after I've done 1. And sometimes I reverse the order of importance just because one task I know is shorter to be able to do than the others. You talk a little bit about that in the book in your priority as well. The one thing that I didn't get to understand is how to gamify the tasks you want to do the least.
Oh, you know how to do this. I have a feeling you'd be amazing at this. Gamification. If you don't want to do something that you absolutely have to do, what are some things that you already do to make those tasks doable? Do you just sit down and force yourself to do it? Because that might work for some people, but it's not going to work for a lot of people. So we just talk about, you know, adding things to the mix in terms of, you know, state changes or in terms of making it a little bit more enjoyable, whether that means with standing up and doing it on one foot, where we have clients like literally like doing their emails while they're like trying to balance on something, which definitely occupies their brain in a way that allows them to do these tedious tasks. And other things are just, you know, music or, you know, a state change with like a physical state change that could involve just getting off your seat and just like exerting some energy and then going right back to your computer, timing yourself in 1 minute, how much can I do? Or conversely, how many of these can I do in 2 minutes? And just trying to like challenge yourself in a way where you're not just like, I have to do this task. This is the most boring task in the world. I have to do it, because then you won't do it.
Well, what I do, and tell me if this is, I try and give myself a reward when I complete it.
So, yeah.
Meaning I have the task that I don't want to do, I will say, if I do this, I get X.
You know what? You are, number one, you got yourself through medical school. I know for a fact, without, you know, ever having spent more than, let's say, an hour with you, that you're probably pretty high on the self-discipline chart. Would you say that?
Oh, yeah.
You're self-aware and you have a lot of self-discipline, which is beautiful. I think that's a gift and something you probably had to try pretty hard to hone. If you don't already naturally have that, then, you know, then you have to, it's like, well, if you're going to reward yourself, see, so many of our clients, they'll do the reward, but then they'll just reward themselves before it's even finished. And I'm like, well, I want to do that anyway. And
that's cheating.
It's totally cheating. And that's what people do it because they're so, you know, nobody's watching. So forget it. I'm just going to go have that fudgesicle right now. So, you know, that'll help me get back into work mode. But the fact is that, you know, rewarding yourself is great as long as you don't reward yourself when you haven't reached the thing that you wanted to do. But I really think that gamifying and adding physical components to your tasks and increasing, you know, your dopamine hits while you're doing tedious tasks is hugely, hugely beneficial. That's what we need.
I want to talk about one more thing before we finish. It's so wonderful we're over time, Shana.
But already?
I can't resist being over time with you. The forerunner of the Toronto airport.
So there you go.
I will never forget your name, obviously, Shana Pearson. The book, by the way, that we're talking about is InvisibleADHD.com is the website. InvisibleADHD is the book. So one of the things you talk about is how to mix moods to nix negativity. So every now and then when I screw up, I tell myself how stupid I was to screw up on that or to not do that task. And I've got such a long list of tasks. There are always tasks I don't get to. And I love most of my tasks, so I have to fight to not enjoy what I'm doing. But there's an occasional task I don't want to do, and I forget to do it totally. Like today, I know I'm supposed to book an airplane ticket, and I almost forgot to call the booking agent to get it done for next Monday's airplane flight.
Interesting. Do you want to go on this flight, or is this something that you're trying to avoid?
No, I want to go on it.
You just don't want to call your booking agent.
No, it's just that I was way down on the list. I had a whole bunch of other things, and as I said, I'm linear. I will focus on one task and get it done before I go to the next one. How do you manage your mood so you don't tell yourself how stupid you were to forget that till now?
Okay, well, number one, you remembered it. I'm just saying. You actually remembered it. Like, you're telling me about it right now and the flight's not till next week, so congrats. Number two, we do dwell on the negative about ourselves. And the reason we do that is because, as you know, if it bleeds, it leads. It's like why all, you know, the news headlines are negative, because we buy into it. We listen to it. It's stimulating. So a person with ADHD tends to fill up their head and their mind space with negativity. That's honestly, it's the saddest aspect of ADHD is how much negativity is going on in our minds, because honestly, because it's just more stimulating. We grab it and we run with the negativity. So I have an exercise, Mike, that is in the book that I'm sure you saw called Facts Are Friendly. I'm a huge believer in this. And you're a doctor. You love science. You understand this. Facts are facts. And you cannot negate a fact no matter how you feel. Okay. Whereas you can say all these affirmations to yourself in the mirror every morning, and it's all BS in your mind because you feel terrible about yourself, right? You can tell yourself how great you are, but you feel bad. So you're going to know that, you know, you're like, no, I'm not great. I'm terrible. But a fact is a fact. And so if you feel terrible about yourself, 3 + 3 = 6, no matter what. And 2 × 2 = 4. no matter what. And so we have our clients write down facts, true facts, not goals, not affirmations, not dreams, okay? Things that we've actually done successfully. For example, you remembered your flight. You just did. You just told me about it. That's a fact. I remembered the flight. I had to call so-and-so. You can no longer tell yourself, I forgot, I haven't done it, I didn't do it. I remembered it, period. That's a fact. Another thing you can do to conquer the negativity is just like you fill up a list with like facts of what you've done, small things and big things recently, so that when you're looking at them, for example, if you have a comment, Mike, on your podcast and somebody says, wow, that was so helpful, thank you. You actually can take a screenshot of that and put it on your facts list because someone actually said that to you. It wasn't something you made up to tell yourself to feel good.
Well, this is very helpful. The book is Invisible ADHD. The website is invisibleadhd.com. You can go to Expert ADHD Coaching. And that's probably expertadhdcoaching.com. I don't know that website.
It's actually, there's a shorter website, adhdcoaching.com.
adhdcoaching.com.
That's it. That's our site.
Thank you for coming on. And thanks to our sponsors, LifeFirstNaturals.com, the makers of Truebiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue. You can go to their website and see the randomized studies they've done on Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum. And by the way, most of the Bovine Colostrum in North America is made by one company. They charge different prices for the same product. You can find out Life's First Naturals competes on price. It's great, and it is relatively low priced. That is Life's First Naturals Bovine Colostrum. And you can also go to Dye Rescue, something that is for pediatric diarrhea, but has got a lot in the blogosphere about it helping when you're adding a GLP-1 drug or changing the dose 2 days before, the day of, and 2 days after revolves most of the episodes of GI distress one gets with the GLP-1 drugs. Thank you, 50,000 of you. A week can't be wrong. So thanks very much for doing it. We'll be back next week, both with a great guest on the B segment and the latest medical news of the week on the A segment. Thanks again.